Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bonjour, ça va? Bienvenue à So I Got to Thinking, your weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you're listening to Ilfa Show, Juno Dawson, and Idius, just Idius, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno. I literally just finished the episode, and that song, Ilfa Show.
The show.
I was thinking of, I'm going to look it up, I think, on Spotify, and sit and flounce into restaurants. Also, when this episode... when the second part, when part two comes out, I will be in Paris.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. When are you in Paris?
I figured it out, so like a couple of weeks from now.
Because I'm in Paris as well. I'm about to do my first book tour of France.
Oh my God. What a coincidence. Maybe we can go to a balcony and scream at the Eiffel Tower together.
There's a lot to unpack, you guys.
Yeah.
And on top of everything, this means that we're reaching the end of our voyage. So I feel very bittersweet. I'm very excited to talk about an American girl in Paris. But I'm also very sad because this has been a 5-year journey. We started in 2019. So.
I know. And I, as I think probably everyone else does, think of 2019 as like last year, but it's not.
No, it's literally 5 years
ago.
Yeah,
5 years ago. But I'm also, when I was writing my notes, I also just thought, thank God it's good. Like, it's so good. These last two episodes, they have their little flaws. But yeah, great job. And it's just so nice to, as much as we enjoy bitching about Carrie and Sex in the City, and I'm just like that, I love to love it as well.
Yeah. So as you may have guessed from my like flawless French delivery, we have arrived at An American Girl in Paris Part 1, the first part of the series finale. Mm-hmm. Dylan, do you have les synopsis peut-être?
Avec les frambois. Oui. I was going to try and do it in French then, and I was like, firstly, no one's going to understand.
Yeah, think of the listeners doing.
Obviously, this is the beginning of the end for the original Sex in the City show. We don't see Carrie and Co again. Well, at the time, we thought we were never going to see them again, but we don't see Carrie. We don't see Carrie and Co again for, what, another 10 years? Until the first movie.
2008 was the first movie, I think.
Oh, so it was more like, yeah, so it was like six
years, yeah.
Yeah, so actually it wasn't that long.
No, we didn't have to wait that long.
Yeah, in the scheme of things. Written by Michael Patrick King, of course, and directed by Tim Van Patten. And I looked him up because I didn't recognize, it's not a name we see a lot on the director credit. And he is king of HBO directing. He directed 20 episodes of The Sopranos. He directed some of The Wire, and he also gave us the first two episodes of Game of Thrones. So they got the big guns in for this one.
Was it The Wire, Carrie Bradshaw skipping through Paris?
I know, like, and I looked him up and he seems, I read like a couple of like quotes from him and stuff, and he seemed to take his craft very seriously. And I did wonder like what he thought when Michael Patrick King was like, so can we get a shot of Carrie's luggage in the boot of this car? He was probably like, I'm an artist and you're making me do this. But so yeah, Carrie goes to Paris. She takes the plunge. She decides to go after umming and ahhing for a bit. And really the whole episode revolves, most of the episode revolves around that. We get a little bit of the ladies. And we can get into this, but that's, watching it back this time, I realised that is one flaw with these last two episodes. They feel very much like the wrapping up of Carrie's storyline. And then the ladies, as I mean, we get some great stuff with Samantha in this one.
Because I think it is a two-part special. So the, there are threads. Okay, Miranda doesn't have much to do this week, but, you know, Charlotte and Harry are trying to adopt, and Samantha is still dealing with her recovery from breast cancer, which, so there's things bubbling away. They won't be resolved until next week.
Yeah.
But there is some, there's more stuff for Miranda to do next time around. So that's cool.
And we don't, as you noted last week or a couple of weeks ago, we don't have a question in either of these.
No.
So
nothing to answer.
Yeah.
So we will instead just answer my question, which I would like to start the episode with, Dylan.
Yeah.
Which is, what fucking world does Carrie Bradshaw live in where she can go for dinner for six when she has a flight at 9 p.m.
I wrote this down, and she was like, Samantha was like, do you want, or someone was like, do you want another cocktail? And she was like, oh no, I don't want to be drunk on the plane. I want to arrive looking fresh and fabulous. And I was like, well, good luck, hon, because you're taking off at nine. And so you're going to have to rush from dinner, like madness. You're going to have
just impossible, physically impossible.
You're going to have an hour, probably realistically, she can only let herself have half an hour with the girls. Then she's got to get to the airport. Then she's getting on a plane at 9 p.m. for like a 6-hour flight. So she'll arrive at 3 a.m. her time. And she thinks she's going to arrive looking fresh and fabulous, which she does somehow.
dressed like some sort of upper school interpretation of what a French person dresses like.
Yeah, it's a bit Madeleine, the little hat.
It's batshit.
And that dress, I'm not a fan. I think it's Jean-Paul Gaultier, isn't it? And I'm only saying that because of the horizontal stripes and the big thing on the front.
Whatever it is, I do not like it.
And that reveal at the beginning when she was like, some outfits wait all year to be worn or something, and then whips off the thing, and it's a bit like, bleh.
Not like Nicole, Papa, not cute. So yeah, so I worked this out. So let's say she's meeting them for an early bird special at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
it's already dark at 5:45 when she runs into Big, which we'll get to in a minute.
So that means she's late. So she's at least 15 minutes late for.
Yeah, it takes an hour. Realistically, you need to. It's going to be an hour from Manhattan to JFK because traffic is horrific.
Yeah.
So what security did that woman go through? Did that car take her straight to the plane? Did Alexander Petrovsky put on a private jet?
That's the only way it could have worked.
It really bugged me, and I'd never noticed it before in 20 years, that this woman, mad as a box of frogs. Why not have dinner with them the night before?
I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, right?
You would. I guess it added like a sense of urgency to proceedings. I don't know.
Batshit. Well, anyway, on her way out to dinner, she is intercepted by Mr. Big. Just as she was at the end of the first episode, she spoke to him out the back of his car.
Yeah, great.
And he said, abso-fucking-lutely.
Great callback to that. And he says, hiya, kid. Like, and immediately we're back with them. We've said a million times how great their chemistry is. There he is. The limo window rolls down. And he gives her that, like, head jerk. Like, come on, get in. Get in the limo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because he loves her. Yeah. He loves her and she loves him. She can't stop loving him, Dylan.
She just can't stop loving him.
She just can't stop. However, if there was, like, an X Factor for artists, for like actors, and I decided I wanted to audition for the X Factor Actors Edition. Carrie's speech to Big would be my audition piece. That is the bit I would. That's. Would you like me to act a little bit out for you now?
Yeah.
You and me, nothing. 6 years of nothing ever changing. Amazing, yeah.
I don't live here anymore. If you did...
You can't keep doing this.
Maybe you could introduce a segment of Club Silencio where you put on a pink ball gown and just lip sync that speech.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see them lip syncing on RuPaul's Drag Race. You and me, nothing. Yeah.
And it would be interspersed with snippets of the French song.
Il fashion.
You and me, you can drive up there.
All you want, because guess what? I don't live here anymore. That's what I do in Worthing now. I just stand around on various streets of Worthing screaming, I don't live here anymore.
Just SJP in her absolute element. Like, she's on a street in Greenwich Village screaming her heart out in like a couture, I don't know if it's couture, in a designer gown. It's very Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard. It's just great, isn't it? It's really good.
Yeah. And it's hard because Big has come to her vulnerable, and you can almost see it at the same time, him realizing how wrong he's got it. Because Carrie has never done this before. Carrie, other than she did throw a Filet-O-Fish at him, but other than hurling a McDonald's at him, she has never really explained the impact that he's had on her these last 6 years.
True.
So he's got her at a difficult moment. She's emotionally vulnerable because she's about to say goodbye to her three best friends. She's about to leave a city that she has previously referred to as her boyfriend. So she's kind of feeling a little raw, perhaps. And then he just pops out and she's like, you.
I think it was a bit out of order when he was like, when you were going to, when she says she's moving, tells him she's moving to Paris. Mm. When he's like, when were you going to tell me? It's kind of like, she didn't really need to tell you. Like, I don't think I would, they haven't really spoken for like, well, since like San Francisco, since the train episode.
Oh no, actually he came back for his heart surgery.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, but I mean, it's not like they see each other all the time. And I don't think I don't think I would feel the need to like tell my ex. I'd be like, oh, they'll find out, obviously.
He fucked off to Napa without telling her. Well, she got round to his apartment and he'd packed.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know. And Napa is as far from New York as Paris is, so. Basically.
So anyway, she screams at him and then they go off to have lovely goodbye dinner, which is also fairly high on the sort of, that potentially would be in my X Factor audition as well. So I was thinking, what if we'd never met?
That was what got me. I knew, like, I was like, I wonder if anything's going to get me this time. I wonder if I'm going to feel the pricking of the tears. And it was when, what if I had never met you?
If somebody tried to do that in the UK, the rest of you would be like, you're right. Calm down. but sadly, Charlotte's already in tears.
Yeah. And then Samantha saying, oh, I'm going to miss you, you cunt.
Yeah. And then Miranda says it as well. Wow, even cunt didn't get it.
Made me think of, I think it's the first time we hear the characters say it. It's definitely been said before. Mm. The
Charlotte's
artist,
lovely cunt.
Yeah, the art. Yeah, yeah. I think you have a beautiful cunt, dear.
Yeah.
But I think it is the first time the characters say it. SJP does not say it, notably.
Absolutely not. She doesn't like swearing, does she?
Well, she says, Sarah Jessica. She says, "Well, fuck him," and you know I never say that in that scene. They all look incredible at dinner.
Yes, they really, really do. Yeah. Samantha's wig gets a pass because her wig is, of course, a plot point.
Yes,
so, that's fine.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to talk about some styling at the other end of the episode when we get to it.
Oh, okay.
You know which scene I mean.
Yeah.
So Carrie somehow has her drink and then says goodbye, they all cry, saccharine music. What if we'd never met? And again, a scene that perhaps means less now that we know how much Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker despise each other. Yeah. So Kim Cattrall, I often imagine we'd never met, but here we are. And then off she fucks to Paris. Yeah, she wakes up and we do enter perhaps the very height of the worst criticism of Carrie Bradshaw, which is her orphan Annie-like, childlike delight.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup. It's very Emily in Paris. This is, of course, Carrie Bradshaw is the archetype that Emily in Paris then became.
Yeah.
Gleefully optimistic American woman prancing around Paris in couture, in a fantastical version of Paris, which simply does not exist. But
I think these two episodes are great, though, because I think they really capture the kind of the American lens of Paris, like as this, yes, like sort of old world, like really glamorous, beautiful place. And the reality is, like, any big city is not going to be like that. And Carrie finds that out next week.
Yeah, and I think you see this a lot with London as well. Like, oh, yeah. If you watch any Richard Curtis film, it's like... spoiler alert, Notting Hill does not represent London, kind of. Neither does Forward to the Funeral or Bridget Jones' Diary. It's kind of,
yeah,
there is a sort of a Harry Potter-esque version of London which simply does not exist either. And I think the Paris, you know, there's this notion that it's fashionable, romantic, sort of rarefied in a way. And I think I can
see why, because it certainly does have those qualities. Like, there are times when you turn a corner and it is breathtaking. It is aesthetically one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and it delivers.
Absolutely,
it delivers on that point. But then there's, as Carrie finds out, dog shit everywhere. People like tapping their cigarettes into your meal as you're eating. Like, so there's things like that as well, which I love those elements of. I'm a big fan of Paris, and I'm lucky.
Oh, I adore Paris.
And I'm lucky enough to go a lot because my mum lives in France. In France.
France.
Yeah, so it's nice. And
I'm going to apologise to the people of France in advance before I start every event on my fringe and go, France.
I'm advanced from France.
Advanced from France. Yeah.
And we're, of course, lucky enough to be able to just jump on the Eurostar.
Eurostar.
Where were we? So, yes. So she
gets there and straight away. She has a slightly unnecessarily romantic encounter with a concierge, and then she meets Chloe, who I do love.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And actually, Chloe is somewhat representative of French people, which it's French people being French. They're not rude. I know that's the kind of the stereotype that we love, but it's just, there's a certain sardonic quality
to
the
French. A certain je ne sais quoi.
Yes.
It's when Petrovsky says she's been having boy troubles, and Carrie's and Carrie's like, so tell me all about the bum, and it just cuts to Chloe just like,
well, now you've come to the right place. Tell me all about the bum.
And Chloe's face, she just says nothing and just blows cigarette smoke out, like, oh. Amazing.
Because it's the problem is in that point. Carrie is being everything we dislike about Americans, and Chloe is being everything we dislike about the French.
Yes, right.
So unfortunately, it's a complete clash of American over-the-topness and French cunt.
I'm not surprised Americans have a tough time in Paris, because they are the most incompatible of cultures. Like, I think Brits and the French, like, we know each other a bit better, and we can deal with each other a bit better. But yeah, like American people. I remember my mum always tells this story about when my American grandma, they took her on holiday to Paris, and she was very Carrie Bradshaw from what my mum has said, and she bent down and gave a homeless man a dollar bill and the homeless man just spat on her shoes and she was just like she was an absolute traumatized. She was traumatized the rest of the holiday.
I've never experienced that. Did I tell you my French story? So I went to Paris with my friend Kerry to celebrate her divorce, as you do. And I always believe you must use your French. You know, I have a GCSE in French.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have no excuse. I should be attempting to speak French when in France.
Yeah.
And so I was in this restaurant in the Marais district, which is the arty gay queer part of town. And I was like, bonjour, je voudrais le salade avec poulet, s'il vous plaît, avec le vin blanche. And the waiter just looked at me and just said in flawless English, ah, what part of Paris are you from? I was like, oh my God, the Yorkshire part. Okay.
Yeah.
But he said it was so funny and it was so good. Like Kerry howled. It was really, really good. It's a sense of humour. Just, I love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's very cutting.
Yes. Like very. Oh girl, I was cut.
Very cutting. Chloe is played by Cécile Cassel. The sister of Vincent Cassel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of Black Swan fame and Westworld and La Haine.
Yeah. There you go.
I looked her up.
She's gorgeous.
She is
so French.
Stunning and so French and perfectly cast. I looked up her, I was on her Wikipedia and she's been in, as far as I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, French listeners, but in French, I think indie films, they looked like French indie films that she's been in. Perhaps like the sort of Natasha Lyonne of France, perhaps, maybe.
Loving that for her.
Yes.
And it's a great scene. But straight away, as soon as Kerry arrives at that hotel, things start to go wrong and it continues. She changes into the now iconic millefeuille gown, which reoccurs in And Just Like That. I didn't dream that, did I?
I think so.
The dress comes back. I'm sure that dress. She sits around the apartment wearing it, I think.
Yes, there is some sort of reference. Or is it one of the movies? Yeah. I think, yes, it does come back.
That dress comes back.
I wrote down McQueen question mark. I think it's McQueen.
Oh, no, I thought you said the Queen question mark.
Is it in the Queen?
Sure. I'm not really sure that's her style.
Is it in the film, the Queen?
Yeah. So she puts on, for her first night in Paris, she puts on the most ridiculous gown. How that came in her suitcase, or was it waiting for her in Paris? I don't know. But she puts on the gown, and then Alex stands her up.
Yeah. Leaves her sat in the hotel room. But it's interesting. I like how they keep things a little bit, like, what I really like is how they never... He has obviously lots of red flags, but they never make him... They never go too far with it. Like, they never make him, like... They never make it too black and white. They never make him, like, really, really awful. Like, he comes back and he, like, really apologises to her and she's like, why didn't you call? And he says, I did call. You were on Do Not Disturb. And she was like, oh, yeah. So it's still, like... I mean, it's not great, is it? But it's still... There's still that shadow of doubt where it's like, maybe she will just stay with Petrovsky because he's not that bad.
True, and then I think you know, we'll find out more when we meet Carole Bouquet next week when we meet his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
But the red flag is that, come on, it's Carrie's first night in Paris.
Yeah.
Either take her with you, or you he's Alessandra Petrovsky. He can definitely stand to be a little bit cunty and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's just arrived in town, kind of.
I, for one, would be really fucked off. When I travel, especially somewhere exciting that I've never been before, if I'm meeting people there or whatever, and they're like, oh, do you want to rest when you get off the plane or whatever? I'm always like, no, it's all there. I want to go and see it right now.
Exactly, So it continues, her week goes from bad to worse when she then face plants in Dior.
Bonjour!
And I tell you what... Bonjour, splat. Yeah, again, part two, splat.
Splat part two.
Yeah, part two. And everybody's really cunty. All the Dior people are really cunty. They're...
just staring. Another great scene. Great. I was going to say great physical comedy from SJP, but I think it might have been a stunt person.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because yeah.
That was quite a fall. But again, just represents like her feeling out of place, doesn't it?
And yeah. You know, and she drops 6-7 grand in Dior to make up for it as well. That many bags from Dior, you're looking at 6-7 grand easy. So
she says the shopping equivalent of a lobotomy, which I thought could have been a good tagline for Sex and the City 2, the movie.
Yeah, the cinematic equivalent of
that. Yeah. I fell in Dior is very similar to I was drunk. I'm drunk at Vogue. I fell in Dior.
Drunk at Vogue, yeah. And again, Alec doesn't seem to really care when she loses her Carrie necklace. Mm. Oh, and so then very quickly, I didn't remember her getting to this point so quickly. She rings Miranda quite quickly to say that she's having a miserable time.
Yeah, I thought this was episode 2, I think. And it made me think, I wrote down, like, obviously it's for our purposes partly and, like, for narrative purposes, but it is, like, a ridiculously short amount of time that she's there. Like, I'd love to know, like, how long. I feel like most people, realistically, even if they were having a shit time, you'd give it, like, a month, wouldn't you? If you were thinking, like, if you were trying to think of moving there, I think I would try, yeah. You know, at least give it a month.
Because I don't believe as well, I do not believe Carrie has thoroughly investigated the Louvre in 7 days, because there is about 7 days worth of fun just to be had out of the Louvre.
So, yeah.
Has she taken herself to Versailles? No, she hasn't.
I was
has she done
say,
the Pompidou Centre? No, she hasn't.
Yeah. Has she been to Sacré-Cœur? You know.
Come on, Kaz.
She could go to the
come
bridge.
On,
she could go to the bridge where Amelie skims the stone and skims some stones. You know, there's loads to do.
Read a book. Find a job, Carrie. Start writing a novel.
I sometimes really revel in the cliche of it. And I sometimes sit, one of my favourite things to do when I'm there by myself is sit outside with a black coffee and a white wine and a cigarette. And last time I did that and read Down and Out in Paris and London by George Orwell.
I'm sorry, I have to leave this podcast now. It's taken 5 years, but Dylan has finally pushed me too far, and
this
I quit.
Is it. Yeah, I told my friend James about it, and he was like, "I hate you."
See, that's why I love Dylan, because anybody else, that would be too much. But I think you know exactly what you're doing, and there you go.
And this is why I love Carrie Bradshaw, because we both invest in the mood, you know. We both, yeah.
Feel the fantasy, yeah. Feel the fucking fantasy.
She sees, speaking of feeling of the fantasy, she's after the phone call with Miranda. Actually, should we talk about the phone call with Miranda? What does she say? So she says... Yeah.
So she sees four white women. And it triggers her.
having drinks. Yeah. Yeah, through a window.
and then she calls from a payphone, which I could you're in a hotel. I don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
The payphone thing. But anyway, she goes to a payphone and speaks to Miranda about... She does a confession that she keeps thinking about Big.
Yeah, and then Miranda immediately is like,
come home. I'm going to apologise to listeners now for any interruptions or shittiness on this episode. Because of exciting life events, I recorded this from the office where we have a coffee shop clinking around in the background and a bit of noise, but I apologise. We didn't want to leave you without an episode, so that's why. That's what's going on.
And coffee shops clinking around, that is very Parisian, that kind of background noise.
Yeah, very chic, yeah. So to kind of wrap up Carrie, she's right. I mean, Petrovsky gives her the most beautiful diamond necklace, but the seeds have been sown that this is not really... The fantasy is fading and she's only been there a week.
Yeah, and I think deliberately that necklace just looks a bit crap. It would have looked so much better with the Carrie necklace, with that outfit, I thought.
He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that something that costs $10 that reminds you of your friends is worth more than that. That if those are real diamonds, that's like a $60,000 necklace. Kind of.
Yeah, it made me laugh when she was like, "I'll never be able to replace it," when she's talking to Miranda. And I was like, well, you would now.
I'm going to say, Google Carrie necklace, delivery 7 days. Yeah.
And do you know what? I actually did look at that. I think I might get one.
Yeah, well, but it has to say Carrie.
Yeah,
or do you
Carrie.
Want this as Dylan?
No, a Carrie necklace. Yeah, a Carrie necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the final shot was really good of her just sort of like lost among his friends. who are speaking French.
Il fait chaud.
Il fait chaud.
It is hot. We're going to take a break now to cool down from the Il fait chaud, and we will be right back to discuss sweaty cancer victims.
Yeah.
And sweaty cancer victims and Miranda's blue eyeshadow. Yeah. So see you in 1 second.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hello! We are back in Paris with an American girl talking about the first part of the series finale. Carrie's fucking miserable. Meanwhile, back in New York, Samantha is fighting the good fight for breast cancer activism.
Yeah, I really like the scene with the, who are they? Breast cancer charity ladies who are organizing the benefit.
Yes, which is, so Samantha, again, bizarre. Samantha is still wearing the outfit she wore to dinner.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So she's gone from her early supper to the world's latest charity board meeting.
Yeah, very strange. I liked her gold leaf necklace a lot. That was
yes.
Nice. But I liked it because you kind of expect them, the scene opens and you expect them to be like, what's the word? It's kind of a trope, these like rich New York women, and they're always assholes. But they were actually quite nice in the end. They listened to Samantha and they were like, you want something out, you want them to have something outrageous. So let's give them you. Instead of a fucking cookie.
I have cancer and I don't want a cookie.
Well, what's wrong with the cookie?
The cookies are paid for, we're having them. Quite like that. That was very well, you're having one. I think again it's nice Smith earning his position in the show about the throwback to him being in an AA, which I'm really glad that hasn't been forgotten. Nothing boils my piss than when mental health problems are swept under the carpet. So, like, the worst examples, it's always, like, eating disorders in kind of YA shows. Kind of, it's like, for a week, they have an eating disorder, and then it's never spoken about ever again, kind of.
Yeah.
So the fact that Smith still refers to being an Alcoholics Anonymous, I think is a really good thing. And, yeah, he's right, you know, and that's something I always try to remember when I'm called upon to sort of be activist Juno, kind of, that, you know, going up on stage and saying, do you know that 48% of all trans youth have attempted to harm themselves? You lose a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. And it's true, by the way, that statistic is 100% true. Mm. But how many listeners just kind of brushed that one off?
Kind of?
And that's why, you know, when I'm speaking about sort of the trans experience, I always try to sort of just talk about myself. You know, that's the most important thing you can do, I think. Sort of tell your story.
I really believe that that's like, in our current climate, that's the way forward. It's just humanizing. Like, that's the way to reach people, I think.
Of course, exactly.
Kim Cattrall's so good when she's giving the speech in her underwear. And she's really proud of herself. And then Smith's like, oh, no. But yeah, really a nice wrapping up to like a really important storyline, actually.
Yeah, and then she pulls off her wig. Now, one of my friends, I remember when we first watched this, and this is really unfortunate because you probably know what I'm about to say. In fact, shout out to my lovely friend Beth. When we watched it for the first time, but way, way back in 2002, she was like, oh, it's like that bit in The Witches.
Oh, my God.
But she's not wrong. If you're thinking of a charity dinner where a bunch of women pull their wigs off, you do slightly go to Roald Dahl's The Witches.
I wouldn't put it past Michael Patrick King to have been inspired by that, to be honest.
So while it's meant to be this huge cathartic moment,
empowering
Samantha, it does slightly go to Witches of England to me, I'm afraid.
And then once you think, well, we've gifted all of our listeners with this now, no one's going to be able to get it out there.
Ruined. Yeah, sorry. They're about to turn a child into a mouse. Good luck.
I mean, obviously, all power to Samantha for taking off her wig and throwing it, but I'm not sure I would have wanted to have caught like a sweaty wig like in the middle of dinner.
Also, let's be perfectly honest, have none of these fucking women ever put a wig on their heads? You don't just put a wig on top of your hair. You have a wig cap, you have to glue down a lace front.
Yeah.
Like a stiff breeze would have rendered any of those women bald anyway, so Yeah, oh, I think there's some massive creative license with the realities of wearing prosthetic hair. So,
oh my God, that reminds me of when I was at Trans Pride in London a few years ago, and it was so amazing. It was, so you know, everyone meets at Wellington Arch. A police helicopter landed they were there for a good reason for once. They were kind of making sure everyone was safe. The police helicopter landed and everyone was sort of like cheering it. But then as it got lower and lower, people close to it realised that it was going to... People started walking away and it started blowing everyone's wigs off.
Oh, no.
It was so funny. And it was fine. Everyone was laughing. It wasn't like a traumatic thing. It was just funny.
Trans Pride, isn't it? It was that moment. It was Samantha's moment.
Yes.
It was Trans Pride. But sadly, there was no budget for a helicopter for this one. So.
And then I can't really remember what happens with Samantha next episode. I think this episode is kind
it's
of...
It's about her sex drive. So no, she has a plot next
She's got more, yeah, nice, yeah.
It's about her discovering her libido again. So she's lost her libido and... Well, let's see how that goes. So not much. Miranda is really there to support Carrie this week.
Yeah.
Charlotte, we've got kind of part one of a two-part thing, which is about her adoption process.
Yeah.
And next week, I do find the Charlotte storyline quite heartbreaking next week. They're about to meet a couple of quite stereotypical sort of mid-American yokels next week.
Yeah.
Class, yes, representations of class on Sex and the City, a dissertation by Juno Dawson. Well, anyway, let's get to that next week. So really, that brings us to the rather iconic last scene where Charlotte, she goes to collect her adoption recommendation from Carrie's apartment. Firmly believe Carrie would absolutely leave it to the very last minute and have to leave it in her apartment for Charlotte to collect.
Yeah.
Like Carrie, I want a baby. I am asking you to write
and
me a letter.
And you know Charlotte would have been calling her like every day, like, so I was just wondering.
I don't want to chase you, but
and on her little like Bluetooth headset.
Yeah. So just through sheer wild coincidence, she happens to be in Carrie's apartment when Big calls her answering machine, which, okay, we'll allow it.
Yeah, fine, yeah.
And then I think what's likely to be for the very first time in 6 years of Sex and the City, we have a scene with Big, Samantha, Charlotte and Miranda without Carrie.
Yeah.
And it feels very odd. It feels kind of very alien.
Or is it even the first time it's the three of them without Carrie, maybe?
Maybe.
I did think, like, it's all Charlotte. Like, it all hinged on Charlotte in that moment. Like, what a power player. She could have deleted the message and Carrie never would have known. And if it had been Miranda, maybe she would have.
Well, yeah, I think so. This is Charlotte's plot, isn't it? She believes in true love. And as we know, she believes everybody gets one, or is it two great loves?
Two great loves. Convenient theories for you weekly.
And Charlotte's convenient theory has just come true because one of Carrie's great loves has just dialed her voicemail. And so it's time for Charlotte to intervene with Samantha and Miranda.
And actually, I'm full of shit because if it had been Miranda wants Carrie to come back, so Miranda wouldn't have deleted.
Yeah. Samantha wouldn't have got involved.
Yeah.
Samantha would have been like, the world will find a way. Yeah. I'm not interfering because Samantha does not interfere. So
yeah, true.
They go for dinner. Everybody looks, okay, Charlotte pass. But Samantha and Miranda look insane.
Samantha's hat
is wild. The off-shoulder zebra print jumper with Kangol hat.
And then those, like, what is that brand of jewellery that I always forget? It's like a really well-known. They do the big gold maximalist, like, palm trees that Samantha's wearing. I've forgotten.
I think they're possibly Chanel.
Yeah, but or maybe it's like, there's a more modern one that's very that, but it's maybe inspired by that kind of thing.
Why today did Miranda pick this day to whip out iridescent blue eyeshadow?
For the first time ever. maybe it's an homage to Carrie's Atlantic City makeup.
Bizarre, just absolutely unhinged makeup artist's choice.
Big looks great. He really does look great in these episodes. I think they've really made an effort to, like, not that they need to, he's a very handsome man, but, like, to make him look very good.
The speech he gives is slightly out of character. I think it's difficult and it's delivered oddly. Both the line, you know, you guys are the loves of her life and a guy is lucky to come forth.
Again, very old school, very old Hollywood delivery.
Yeah, kind of. It doesn't quite figure. And then also the choice on the delivery, if you really think she's happy. I was like, that's a choice. Just if you really think she's happy, it would have been how a human would say it. But whatever. But of course, it all leads up to the very iconic line, which we should all have on a T-shirt, which is Miranda leading in and saying, go get her, girl.
I think we said that in exact unison. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, goosebumps. Still goosebumps. Great.
Go get our girl.
Great stuff.
And we've all thought it, if not said it. You know, we all have girlfriends where we might feel the need to do an intervention. Mm. And the intervention mantra is, go get our girl. And he does. Spoilers.
Yeah. He does. That's it.
That is all. So next week, please do join us for the very last regularly scheduled episode of So I Got to Thinking. Let's get you involved. Please tell us your podcast highlights of the last 5 years. Which are your favourite episodes of either Sex and the City? Maybe it's time to start doing it, Dylan. We've always said, let's do the ultimate. You know, what are the 10 best episodes of Sex and the City?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that. Let's not be too navel-gazy about the podcast. Send us, please, your favourite episodes of Sex and the City. And next week, to round out 6 years of podcast, Dylan and I will attempt to do some sort of admin, and we will try to compile a list of listeners' top 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So you can contact us. The Twitter is still there. Obviously, I've come off of Twitter, but the Twitter is still there, the @SIGTT podcast. Twitter is still there. You can send us them on Twitter. The best way you're probably going to find us is to contact us on Instagram, which Dylan is very on the case.
Thank you. Merci.
Please do. Let us know your faves.
And I'll post about it. And just any thoughts at all as well. Like,
you could set it up on Instagram as one of those, you know, where you post a little question. On Instagram. Yeah.
That's a great shout. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Just any other thoughts, feelings, how would you have ended the show differently? I think I'd be very interested in that. I don't think... I'm happy with the ending.
I am very, very happy with the ending. I know a lot of people have criticised the show that the show only ended when all four of them were in settled monogamous relationships.
Oh, I'd have changed... Actually, yeah, I'd have changed that for sure. I'd have had Samantha, at the very least, Samantha be single.
But I felt the film does some good work on that.
That's true,
so
yeah.
That's kind of the plot of the first film, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So yes, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But until then, yeah, we will... For one more time, see you next Tuesday. Bye for now.
Bye. Au revoir.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.